Vitamin C has evolved. Altrient Vitamin C is a cutting-edge liposomal liquid food supplement designed for maximized absorption. Discover Altrient Liposomal Vitamin C and receive 10% discount by quoting HR10 at abundanceandhealth.com.
Would you know how to get rid of your fear, phobia, stress, or anxiety? How to burst your fear and transform your life? Welcome to Fear Busters Show, presented by Lauren Rosenberg, fear and phobia relief expert and author of How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happens. You are listening to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio with Lauren Rosenberg. www.fear-busters.com.
Hi, welcome back to Fear Buster Show. Today we have the pleasure of having Kat, who's going to talk about her fear of needles. So, hi Kat, can you just maybe explain to our listeners that how did you notice that fear of needles and how did it start it?
Hi Lauren, thanks for having me on. I've always had a definite kind of resistance to needles. I remember trying to hide away from vaccinations at high school and being in absolute tears at the thought of them, and anything that kind of, whether it's an injection or blood taking, I just absolutely hated it, and I'd be sweating. I'd go pure white when I've been sat in, you know, the nurse's room when I was being administered kind of any vaccinations or having any blood taken, and it just became such a stressful, horrible situation that I'd build myself up to. And it was never, you know, in that moment, it was never, ever as bad as I imagined it. But the whole build up to it was definitely something that used to just take over.
So when you say build up, was like a few days before, or a week before, or just a thought, or just a day before, if you had, or what was
as soon as I knew, like as soon as there was any indication that that was an end result, that there'd need to be a needle involved somehow, then I'd feel that kind of panic straight away. And then it would kind of disappear, and then it's probably the day before, then I'd be thinking about it and it would make me feel anxious, and then on the day, that was it, that's all I could think of until it was over.
Yeah,
I've always done it, particularly when it was when I was pregnant and it was having blood tests, you know, during pregnancy, I always managed to. But there's definitely, I think I've missed a couple of things that within life that I was, after my first baby, they thought I'd had a lack of iron, and they thought I might have been anemic, so they wanted to do a blood test. I was just like, no, the baby's out now, I'm fine, just give me some iron.
How did you manage to have that, you know, those blood tests when you were pregnant?
I cried. I cried. I think because potentially my veins weren't easily accessible, so in some instances they've tried 3 or 4 times and they couldn't locate the vein, so then that was painful because they could, you know, it was just jabbing into my arm. And I think during the blood test for pregnancy I did try and kind of get my mindset different, but anything else it's still there.
So, and where do you think that comes from? Do you have any idea, or would you have a memory of something that makes you scared of needles? Or is it sometimes, I have helped quite a lot of people with fear of needles and got rid of their fear of needles, and People sometimes say, oh, I don't like the foreign body going into my skin, or I don't like somebody putting something near my skin, or sometimes the pain. It's, you know, everybody has a different definition of their fear of the needles. And sometimes it's just the fear of the unknown. It's not knowing what's going to happen next when somebody put their needles in your arm. So, Kat, what do you think that is for you?
Well, I have a definite memory from childhood. And I think I was probably about five, and I was admitted to hospital. I think I had a virus, a stomach virus, and I couldn't stop being sick. So they had to take a blood test, and I was absolutely refusing. I didn't want one. And I just have this vision of, and I remember what I was wearing. I had these little dungarees on and a purple t-shirt. And then there was about four nurses literally pinning down each limb whilst they took a blood test. So that, I mean, I still have that within my memory. And
just by talking about it just now, where do you feel that in your body? Where would you feel this just now? Just because you said I still have this now.
I feel it here, kind of.
In your arm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but whether that is just because I know that's where they would have been, but because it's more a vision of kind of being in the room and being restrained.
So when you think about that event, where would you feel that in your body? Apart from, is that just in your arms, or that sensation of being restrained?
I think it's in the chest.
That feeling in your chest, was that color? What color does it look like, that feeling in your chest? And how big is that feeling in your chest?
It doesn't have a color. I can't sense a colour with it, but it feels quite thick.
Quite thick, okay.
Yeah, it feels
quite thick. How big does that feel like?
Probably kind of up to my collarbone and just down to my diaphragm.
Okay, so if you did have to pick a colour to get rid of this feeling that is quite big and thick, what colour would you be? What colour would you actually pick?
It feels like it'd be grey.
Grey, okay.
Yeah.
So could you, you know, if you want, we can try to shift that feeling in your chest just right now. Would you mind just taking a deep breath and then maybe closing your eyes if that feels comfortable? And imagine that little grey river going in into your mind, down into your throat, into your chest, lifting and making that feeling lighter and lighter and lighter. And just give you some permission to allow that feeling that's been there for quite a long time. You have a vision, and the subconscious mind lives in the present time, so it will still be there. And this is why every time you see a needle or you see a similar situation, you will be feeling like that. So if you want, all you have to do is just literally take a deep breath, close your eyes if you want to. If you prefer to have your eyes open, you can. And see this nice color. This nice grey going in, lifting and making it lighter and lighter and lighter. And just tell your mind it's just a little bit of energy block. That's all it is. And what we're doing, we're just allowing that nice colour going in like a little nice river flooding in, lifting and making it lighter and lighter and lighter. So light and so soft that it will just make it lighter, softer. You may move or it may become smaller. Just notice what that feel like, and that's particularly place where you feel that thickness, and just give yourself permission to allow it to be lighter. At the same time, you can also say thank you to it because it's been there for quite a long time and it may have served you in certain ways, but just see the color. If the color changes, then whatever color changes, just stand that color and allow the color to make that lighter and soft, just so that you can just allow it to spread. Either will become smaller or it'll go up or down. You may find a little bit of pinning needles. Just notice what that feel like in your body. And then whenever you want, you can just take a deep breath and just open your eyes. So Kat, what's that feel like now, thinking of that image, of that sensation that you said that is quite thick in your chest, that feeling, Is it the same? Is it different? Is it moved? Is it lighter? What does that feel like?
Yeah, it feels like it's dissipated a little bit. It's not quite as thick. And it felt like when I was visualizing that instead of being gray, it kind of turned to lavender.
Yeah, I had a feeling that I'm very intuitive. So when you said gray, I felt that it wasn't quite the right color anymore. That's why I suggested if it wasn't quite the right color that you could change. So what we're doing is basically emotions can get blocked in the body and they create blockage. And what we're doing just by sending a color, we're just allowing that blockage to start being dismantled in that sense. A little bit like a plumber job where you have a pipe and there's something in the way and we're just cleaning that pipe and allowing the water to flow. So what we're doing the same. We're just literally sending that color, allowing the flow to go in, lifting what's ever been blocked for quite a while and making it lighter. So like you said, it's dismantled, starting dismantling it. So if you were thinking maybe of having a blood test now, how strong would that still be? Obviously we haven't, you know, it's still, you could still feel something, but would that feel slightly different than when we started, or is the intensity still the same?
It's there's still resistance, but it doesn't feel quite as strong. It doesn't make me want to come up with excuses to not.
Okay, so something has changed. Excellent. So something has changed. Okay, so let's do that again. What color do we need to dismantle a little bit more? Like you said, you use the word dismantling. So let's. What color would you like?
What color do I think it's a stronger purple, more of a violet color.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so take a deep breath, close your eyes, see this nice, beautiful, stronger purple going in, this nice, stronger purple river flooding in, going into your throat, down your chest, lifting and making it lighter and lighter and lighter. And just pay attention to what that feel like. Notice that sensation. Just remind yourself you're safe. It's just a bit of energy that we're just unblocking. We're not taking anything away. We're just making it lighter and softer. It can actually flow nicely. That's all we're doing. And just notice what that feel like to do so. And then whatever you want, you can just take a deep breath and open your eyes. So thinking back, Kat, thinking of what we were talking about, fear of needles, what would I feel like now? How different is it compared to when we started?
It's not as strong. Yeah, it's not quite as strong. I think I still have an issue with it piercing my skin.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's, you know, part of, yeah. I think I've got the memory of that kind of childhood instance. But I also have, yeah, I think that kind of piercing of the skin going into my body, whether that's different or comes from the same.
What's interesting is that at the beginning, when we started talking about the fear of needles, you didn't describe it so much. The vocabulary that you're using now is much more precise and you're talking about it much more rationally and much more calm than when you were mentioning at the beginning. You could say, oh, I could still feel it. And then as you dismantle the fear, you're able to talk more about it and you use extended vocabulary in that sense. So when you have total fear, people say a few words and as they get more relaxed and they let go of the fear, they can actually talk more about it. In fact, when somebody experienced a trauma and if you ask them to tell the story, they will just say a few words. But as you actually help them and dismantle the fear and the trauma behind that, they can actually tell the whole story without flooding into tears or going into shock. And that's where that happens when you actually clear the trauma behind that. So obviously we're just on air and we're just doing a little bit, there's a little demo in that sense, but just to make you more comfortable talking about it. But that is already the difference that I noticed, and I don't know if our listeners have noticed already, that the way you express yourself was so many more detail than at the beginning talking about the fear of needles, plus less emotion.
Yeah.
Definitely not. So it's like being detached to it And obviously you would need, you know, a few hours to completely clear it. But this is quite interesting how gradually you're able to give more details about that fear in itself. The other thing is, you mentioned that sensation of needle, and a lot of people, when they have fear of needles, is the access of someone putting a foreign body, a foreign item, should say, in your, you know, in your body, like a foreign body going in. And this is what actually scares the person most, is not even just a needle, is somebody having control on your own body and having that entering your skin. That is what creates that fear in itself. But you managed to go, I mean, I know I've seen somebody who was expecting, and she's never had blood test until she got to 6 months being pregnant. And then they really, you know, everyone, the GP and consultant, just say to her, well, you really need to have some tests done now. So finally she came to see me and we worked on it and we cleared the fear. And so much afterwards, she actually even had the flu vaccine. So she was so comfortable. She decided, okay, well, I did a whole lot now. But so it is possible. You can get completely over that fear. You managed to work in a different way because you did go through pregnancy and giving birth. So what made you be able to do it in that specific time?
I think so I've had two children, and the first time, I think it was just, you know, it was making sure that I was doing everything that I needed to for my baby. Mm-hmm. And I kind of created a mindset that the reason I had to have the blood test was not for me, but it was for my baby. So it's kind of like not my body and for me, it was for somebody else. So I think having that level allowed me to almost, it never stopped the anxiety, but it made me push through it.
And I think the fact that you had to do it for somebody else, or is that?
Yeah, it was definitely because it was for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because after I'd given birth, then they wanted to check my blood levels. I was adamant, no, you're not doing that. But with my second child, I actually did hypnobirthing. So the techniques that I was learning for hypnobirthing, I used those when I was going for my blood test for my second child.
Very nice. That's really nice. I also use hypnotherapy and it's really nice to do that for birth, definitely. So what would it be like now that we're still in a pandemic and that the vaccinations are coming out? What's the feeling and thought that obviously you're not in the category and at the moment is elderly people, but what if suddenly you were in that category, what would happen? If somebody, in your type of work, you're not in a higher risk, but if you talking about vaccination, you've had a few vaccinations, but what if you did have to have that one? What would be the thought, or what would be like, what would you do?
I'd probably feel some apprehension, but from talking so far, it doesn't feel quite as big. And again, if that was necessary, if that was, because again, it's probably not just for me, that's for other people as well. So I can probably bring myself back into that alignment where there's a reason.
So if it's not for you, then it seems to be slightly an easy way to do it in that sense. So that's what you're saying? Or
definitely, it's there's another layer I can kind of almost take my mind to, which will override part of it. So
okay,
The being in the chair and the handing my arm over to somebody is still, it can kind of make my heart go a little bit, but
So when you said handing my arm, it's very much about body control, or it is very much about being in control. I mean, I don't know, you know, how you gave birth, and but if it was natural birth, because I know that if it was a C-section, then you would have less control. But yeah. I presume you've had natural births.
They were both natural births.
So you were more in control.
And it wasn't. And for my second, it was just a water birth. I didn't have gas and air or any pain relief. So it's not even the fear of needles isn't even a pain thing, I don't think, because I feel like my tolerance of pain is quite
if you've given birth, I'm sure your tolerance of pain will have
but I think you've touched on kind of that loss of body autonomy and handing that to somebody else, and I think again that being able to kind of find the correct place and not have to keep repeating it. And I think there was one instance where I did have to, I think it was a birth control injection, and I felt totally okay with one of them. And then I think it was into my glutes, and there was just something that triggered a whole chain reaction, and I just felt my body go cold and started sweating, and I went really pale, even though I'd felt like I'd got it was fine. I felt like it going into my bum cheek was fine. It wasn't quite as, I felt different to, I think, my arm. And as well, because I've got eczema, the skin on my inner elbows is quite sensitive. Fair. So I think the place on my arm for blood tests can be quite sensitive. Whereas I felt like my bum cheek, that was fleshy and it's not sensitive and it's fine, but that made me nearly double over and faint. So I think it's the confusion about the physiological response as well, the not knowing that my body will react.
It's not, so sometimes very often the fear of the needles is actually the fear of the unknown, not knowing what's going to be happening next, what reaction would I have having it. You also mentioned eczema. I don't know if you know, but on the holistic side, eczema is actually a skin reaction, and usually it's due to a separation skin to skin. So, and that can happen either from birth, when baby's born and has been taken away from mum for just checkups, or just it's not skin to skin straight away, or later on in life. It could be in early years, that maybe it doesn't have to be a big trauma, but it could be like if the child wanted to be held by mum and somebody just took the child, or it's a skin to skin separation, and then the skin reacts and creates the eczema, and then it gets, it's painful and itchy and thing, but it's actually a skin reaction. So it's restoring that skin to skin trauma that happened in the past, if you can, and if there is a specific event that you can remember, or just on the positive side, you don't always have to go back into events to clear things. You could actually use tapping or emotional freedom techniques or breathing exercise or even affirmations and talking to your skin, allowing the body to heal from the inside, that the skin restore. It's also protection. So there's a lot of different ways where you could work on this, but it's also the way that the body is reacting is protecting a fear. So the two can be quite linked in that sense. Especially, so what happened is the incident that you had with the fear of needles, I don't know if at the time you were maybe in your parents' arms, or the nurse took you or put you on a seat or restrained you, but you can start having eczema after an event like this. Or you can also be born with eczema if during pregnancy there was a trauma that mum experienced, so the baby can also be born with skin already red, or so there's a lot of different, subconsciously there is some program that gets put into place, and that creates, and the body is so clever. So the body is not against you. The body is just protecting you. So it's creating this eczema, but obviously consciously and on day to day, it's really can be really painful and not pleasant, but it's understanding what's going on. And then you can literally just talk to your body and say, okay, well, now I understand it. I'm going to give more love to my body, more understanding, reminding my body that actually I am safe. I don't need that extra reaction. There's quite a lot of different, there's different ways of doing it, but you could use affirmation, you could use pressure points. You know, those are the type of things I know personally, because I had a child who had severe eczema and we completely cleared it. So I know a lot in that subject, but the two could be linked together. I don't know if you know when that eczema started, but
I think it was definitely a 6 weeks about 6 weeks old it began. Mm-hmm. And I think it was that shift into bottle onto formula milk.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting you're saying the bottle and formula milk, because when you breastfeed, you have the skin to skin. Yeah. When it's taken away and there's a transition and baby may not feel so safe, then the skin can have that reaction subconsciously. So because anything with eczema is, it's a separation skin to skin. So that's interesting you mentioning it.
Yeah.
So, and then when you restore it and then the mind put the two together and then the you know, things happen and then the skin and the mind can say, okay, well, I no longer need to be on high alert anymore. Therefore, I don't need to produce that. And then the skin can repair. So it's actually really interesting that you just pinpointed that just specific time. Yeah. and it'd be interesting if people had time to do some research and look into, okay, well, you know, how many people who've got eczema could realize when it started. And so sometimes you can start a few weeks later and sometimes it can show 2 years later for the body, depending on, you know, in the further along life, it can take up to 2 years for an event to create the eczema in itself. But very often is early days, babies getting eczema. So that could be a transition of, you know, lack of skin to skin. You know, the subconscious mind is so interesting and it just creates some little belief and then that's when it's in there. And that's why when you mentioned about the event that happened with the needle, because the subconscious mind lives in the present time, it actually feels still, although you've grown since, you still feel like you can be in that event. And that's why every time you will see a needle or if you need a vaccination, then that state of mind will come up. It's like a computer and that definition of needles. Well, I remember this is what happened when I was little. Therefore, I need to protect myself and get out of this. But you've managed to overcome it in a different ways, in certain ways, as long as it's not for you in that sense. And also, you know, maybe the work that you do may have helped also. If you want to tell our listeners that what you do.
So I teach yoga and dance, and mainly yoga in the past 5 years, but I've taught dance for about 20 years. So that kind of movement of the body, mm-hmm. and connection back into the breath, and also that embodiment and awareness that comes through yoga and the meditation. And what I realize now, it just kind of really helps to reset your nervous system and mm-hmm. and allows your brain waves and your breath just all to kind of regulate and allow you to just find a sense of calm and release, so that we can come away from that low level chronic stress that so many people live in.
It's being aware. It's a bit like I would call it, like, you know, like if you have a car, you have to do an MOT and it's like a service, and it's like that is what it's being more aware that we need services done, we need our meditation, we need whatever way people, you know, if it's breathing exercise, if it's EFT, if it's color therapy, if it's just yoga, Pilates, whatever way of relaxing and getting to be more aware of your body, getting to understand what's going on in your body and how you can de-stress it, so that it doesn't actually build up, so that all the emotions that you've picked up along the way, you don't have to carry them as a luggage. And emotion baggage, you don't have to carry them. You can just take a deep breath and let them go. And you can use breathing and yoga and meditation, whatever. And it's just a question of trying and see what you're most more comfortable. And it doesn't mean that one specific one, you have to stick to that. You can change. I was actually looking into, I was doing more research on the brain. I mean, I love understanding the brain, and there's so much that we don't even know about it. And exactly what you mentioned, brain waves, how you can really tune into listening to specific notes. It's not music. They're like frequencies, and that can actually change, and the vibration of frequency that can really change your state of mind and distress. And I mean, when I teach tapping, I actually do I use that sound to start the course, and I obviously do it more, and what I do is I just to shake that little vibration inside the body and to let go of all the things that happened before, so you can actually allow to have more knowledge coming in into your mind. So those are the type of things that can be simple things, sometimes can have such a big impact on life. I know I started yoga since we're locked down with my kids, and we love it. And yoga is so gentle, you don't even realize the muscles that you're using, or you don't even realize the muscle that you didn't use, and then you start using it, I should say. But it's really interesting. It's like, and it just, the whole giving the time for your own body, that is accepting and acknowledging that actually your body is your little house, and that's what you're living in. And you do need to check yourself, and you need to go have a little service done like you do with a car. You need to start learning to do that little service for yourself. And you know, when you do the car, you change the oil and the filters. Well, when we, with us, we just need to change some wrong belief, wrong message, negative message that may have been picked up by coping behavior or seeing things or experiencing. And when you change those messages, then the whole world is open to you. You can really feel lighter and start changing things and moving forward. And that makes a big difference. So
definitely.
How do people can find you if they want to do yoga? Because now you're doing yoga online.
Yes. So I've through the first lockdown, I took everything online, and I've got a really easy, simple process to book and kind of join me. It's really slick, so it's not too clunky. People don't need to kind of contact me and then I send a link or anything like that. It's really straightforward. But my company is called Breathe Dance and Yoga, and everything, my website, my Facebook page, my Instagram, it's all got the same ending. So it's at Breathe Dance and Yoga, all spelt out. So breathedanceandyoga.com, and then my Instagram and Facebook handle are Breathe Dance and Yoga.
Excellent, Kat. Thank you so much today for talking about your fear of needles and also about eczema. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the radio today. To our listeners, thank you very much for listening to Fearbuster. This is Lauren Rosenberg. So thank you very much for listening, and looking forward to talking about next week about another fear. Have a great week. Thank you.